This is Financially Speaking with the Bushka Wealth Management Team. You need a financial strategy that counts for challenges like market volatility and inflation, and that also adequately prepares you for retirement. The purpose of this show is to address common financial concerns, provide helpful strategies, and offer ways you may be able to achieve your financial goals. And now, here's Financially Speaking.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Financially Speaking. My name is Cole Bruner from Bushka Retirement Solutions and Bushka Wealth Management. And joining me today is our co-host, Tony Shore. And of course, listeners, during the show today, if you have any questions, if you'd like to get a little bit more information on what we're talking about today, feel free to give us a call at 715-355-4445. You can also visit us online at retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbuska.com. While you're at the website, make sure you check out the radio and TV show pages. You can check out some of our past episodes that we've got out there for you. You can also subscribe to the program on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music, whatever your preferred podcast outlet is. And of course, we also now have the TV show out on our YouTube page. So if you want to catch up on some of our past TV show episodes, feel free to check out the YouTube page, which you can get to from our website directly. Now, as a financial services professional, one of the most important tasks that we have is helping our clients with building enough retirement income so that they can really maintain that preferred lifestyle and have the kind of retirement that they've really always dreamed of. So today, during our show, we're going to discuss retirement income and how much you're likely to need. But before we get rolling on that topic, let's make sure to say hi to Tony, who's with us this morning. Tony, how are we doing today?
Oh, I am doing great, Cole. I've been enjoying the summer weather, right?
Absolutely.
Getting out.
Finally.
Yeah. Well, we kind of skipped over spring. I mean, we're having some hot temperatures. This feels more like August to me.
Right. Exactly.
Isn't that crazy?
Well, I mean, it is, Wisconsin, after all. You never know what you're going to get.
That's true. You never know what you're going to get. But hey, I'll take it. I would rather have this any day over winter, right?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. I went golfing with my sister and brother-in-law last Friday and got my first sunburn of the year. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's awesome. Was Kaylee, is she quite a golfer?
She is, for the most part, better than me. Let's put it that way.
Oh, wow.
Her husband beat us both, but I was in last place on Friday.
Oh, no.
That's okay. I don't play for the competition. I play for the fun.
Sure. I thought you were like the Tiger Woods of that whole operation over there.
Not quite. I wouldn't go that far. I've been golfing for most of my life, but my dad, put us into golf lessons when we were young and
sure.
all that. And it kind of fell off for a while and picked it back up a couple of years ago. And certainly I would say my skills are a little rusty.
Oh, man. That's why I don't golf. I'm not great. And it really takes time. If you put in time. Maybe by the end of the golf season, you'll be great.
Right? Well, I always, my mantra is every time I go out, if I get at least one or two good hits, there's a reason to come back again next time.
There you go. See, that's the way. The glass is half full. I like that.
Exactly.
Silver lining. The ball is halfway there, right?
Yes, exactly.
And sometimes it even falls in the fairway or the green. That's good.
Yeah, once in a great while.
Right? Right? Well, hey, I don't think there are too many things more important to retirement than having a reliable income.
Absolutely.
And, we've talked on past shows, it really does come down to how do you plan for income and retirement to make sure it's going to last?
Right.
So a lot of people are like, how much is enough? How much can I pull out of the accounts? So where do you want to begin with this topic today?
Well, I think a good place to start off, Tony, would be there was a U.S. News and World Report article entitled "What is a Good Monthly Income in Retirement?" And I think it provides some useful information for our topic for today. So step one, according to them, is to define what a good retirement income is for you. And it might not be as tricky of a task as you might think. Now, a financial services professional that was cited in the article notes that most clients already have a pretty solid idea of how much they're going to need in retirement. And this is all because their retirement budget often closely mirrors their expenses during their working years. I mean, after all, no one wants to retire to a lower standard of living, right? I mean, that's not why they call it the golden years, right? And while some work-related costs like commuting, lunches out, work clothes, all that kind of stuff, that tends to disappear. But retirees still have housing and utility bills to cover. And additionally, new expenses may pop up, including things like travel, new hobbies or more hobbies and also entertainment, because, of course, you've got a lot of free time to fill now. Right. So sometimes that costs a little bit of money. But retirement spending also tends to vary by stage of retirement. Newly retired individuals tend to spend a little bit more, maybe because they might be traveling and pursuing some of those long delayed dreams that they've had over their career. And by mid-retirement, expenses often will decline because life settles into a steadier rhythm. And then later in retirement, however, costs may increase again due to potential health care or maybe long-term care needs. So we have to kind of think about the various stages of spending in retirement. Sometimes they've been referred to as the go-go, the slow-go, and the no-go years, which maybe you've heard of before.
Yeah,
but that is real, and it definitely does reflect in many clients' spending patterns as they go through their retirement years.
Yeah, it makes a big difference. I mean, in retirement, you know, the day I spend the most money during the week while I'm working is Saturdays, right?
Of course.
My day off, and everybody's going to the store on Saturdays, shopping on the weekends. And in retirement, as you've said, Cole, every day is a Saturday, right? So
except for Sunday, right?
Except for Sunday. Every day is a Saturday except for Sunday. And sometimes that feels like a Saturday too in retirement.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you have 6 days a week and a Sunday, and you're spending money on, you can easily spend money every day of the week. So you've got to watch that. You got to have a plan in place. And, you know, years ago, I thought, oh, retirement, I don't need to work with a professional. I'll be able to plan my own. I can build an entire retirement strategy all on my own.
Yeah.
Let's just say I'm glad I didn't do that. And I'm working with a financial professional now because there is a lot to it. And as time goes by, you can make more and more costly mistakes, and they get costlier and costlier without a financial professional. So that's a good thing. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, most definitely. And the article also talks about how much the average retiree spends. And while every retiree's income needs are going to vary, of course, looking at national averages can sometimes provide a bit of useful insight when we are putting together a plan. Now, the Bureau of Labor Statistics tracks consumer spending through its consumer expenditure surveys. And back in 2023, the most recent data that's available, U.S. households led by someone 65 or older spent an average of a little more than $64,000 annually. However, most retiree households can spend significantly less. According to the 2022 Spending and Retirement Survey by the Employee Benefit Research Institute, which surveyed over 2,000 American retirees aged 62 to 75, the vast majority reported spending less than $4,000 per month.
Wow. Well, and you've said before, spending less in retirement can come organically because you're not filling up the car for a daily commute. You're not buying work clothes or going out to lunch every day with coworkers. So there are going to be some natural savings built into retirement with those things, at least.
Yeah, of course. And let's also consider where people may get their retirement income. Once you have an estimate of your retirement expenses, of course, the next logical step is determining where that money is going to come from, right?
Right.
And we as financial services professionals can certainly offer some guidance. And one expert cited in that article emphasizes their goal of helping clients start each month with $5,000 in the bank. Now, according to the article, retirees typically draw income from five primary sources: Social Security, investment portfolios, annuities, part-time employment, and also pensions, which, of course, we know are becoming much, much more of a thing of the past. But additional sources of income might be like rental properties or accessing home equity through something like a reverse mortgage, possibly. And while traditional pensions, like I just mentioned, have become increasingly rare, Social Security remains a critical source of income for retirees. In fact, nearly 90% 60% of Americans age 65 or older receive Social Security benefits, according to the Social Security Administration. And as of December 2024, the average monthly benefit for retired workers was $1,975, equating to an annual income of $23,700. Now, while helpful, this amount may not be sufficient to sustain a household's needs. So you've got to think about that supplemental income, right?
Right. Is that why a lot of people plan on working a bit even after they're retired?
Well, I mean, think about relying on part-time income to bridge that gap. That could really seem like a viable option, right? I mean, it's not always a long-term solution because there's other factors involved, like the ability to, you know, go to work that could go away if health failed or something. And many retirees assume they can continue working indefinitely, but at some point those physical limitations may make that really difficult or possibly even impossible. And so this is why saving for retirement during your working years is so essential. You know, things like contributions to 401ks and IRAs and all of these different retirement accounts can help supplement Social Security and provide you with a little bit more financial stability, which will ensure you'll have enough income even after you do stop working officially.
Yeah, see, that's a great point. I think a lot of people might think they'll stop working because they want to, but there is a chance that health or other circumstances, maybe layoffs, will make the choice for us. And you need to be prepared and working with a financial professional like yourself.
Oh, absolutely. And finally, the article also emphasizes the importance of turning savings into a steady cash flow. Withdrawing money as needed may seem straightforward, but retirees have to carefully manage those distributions to avoid depleting their savings too soon. A common guideline is the 4% withdrawal rule, which suggests withdrawing 4% of your overall savings annually. So, for example, a retiree with a $1 million nest egg could generate $40,000 per year, while someone with $500,000 in savings would have an annual income of closer to $20,000 per year. However, the article does point out that this rule doesn't account for taxes, which, of course, is an important factor in income planning. The way that you withdraw your funds can significantly impact your tax burden. Now, many retirees hold savings in traditional 401ks and IRAs, where those withdrawals, of course, are taxable. And additionally, at age 73, retirees have to begin taking required minimum distributions, which certainly can increase their tax liability. Now, one strategy to reduce future taxes is to potentially convert funds from traditional accounts like IRAs to Roth IRAs before retirement. And while Roth withdrawals are tax-free, the conversion itself is going to be taxable. And that obviously requires careful planning to minimize the impacts.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Roth. That's a great tool for tax-free income in retirement, and the earnings are tax-free. So you get the principal and the earnings. It grows tax-free. It comes out tax-free. Yep. You just have to pay taxes on the money before it goes into the Roth.
Exactly.
And I know you can help people plan for that. So let's take a quick break here. Cole, but before we take that break, let our listeners out there know how they can get a hold of you to set up that no cost, no obligation consultation with you and your team there to get a plan started, get a plan in place.
Yeah, absolutely, Tony. They can give us a call anytime at 715-355-4445. You can also go right out to our website and schedule right here and now at retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbushka.com. And remember, we've got offices located in Wausau, Eau Claire, and we can also schedule virtually if that works easier for you.
All right. And you're listening to Financially Speaking with our host, Cole Bruner, and myself, Tony Shore, your co-host. It's been a good one today, Cole. You've been talking about income during retirement, which is so important. You talked about defining the right income for you individually and your time horizon, how much the average retiree spends, and then where this retirement income is going to come from. How do I turn on all the savings into cash flow? Because it's a complete 180. We're used to accumulation and saving. We take our income and we create a savings with it. Now in retirement, it's the exact opposite. We have to take that savings and create an income And that's where you come in, because that's where most people might misstep or take a fall, because they might make expensive mistakes and not be able to figure that out. Right.
Well, and I have to say that it's always a little jarring for clients when they make that transition. You know, it's like this they've spent, like you said, they've spent an entire lifetime doing the exact opposite, putting money into these accounts. And now all of a sudden they're pulling money out and they're a little anxious about it, because it's like, oh, my gosh, this feels so wrong, you know?
Right. Exactly. But
that's what we saved it for. I mean, that's what it's there for. And so I see that pretty often, where people are like, oh, a little panic stricken by the fact that they've got to start taking money out of those accounts right now. Cause you know, that's when that anxiety sets in about, have I saved enough? And is it going to get me through? And what if the market goes down and all these things?
And I don't want to take too much, or I need to take enough. Or some people might think they can take a big chunk right away and spend, you know, do something with it. So you really need
whatever.
You need to get a financial advisor opinion before you do anything, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We always encourage that, because there might be factors that you're not even considering that may impact that decision.
Like taxes, things like that.
Big time. Yeah. That's usually the big one, right?
Yeah.
So let's keep up with our conversation, Tony, about retirement finances by looking at investing and saving. There was another U.S. News and World Report article entitled How to Start Investing and Saving for Retirement with Little Money. And it really jumped out at me, because I think it's packed with some good info for our conversation. Now, many Americans have long assumed that investing in stocks, bonds, and mutual funds requires a substantial bank account. And while that may hold true for, you know, high priced stocks at the top of the S&P 500, but it doesn't mean investing is out of reach for those with limited funds. Take the Magnificent Seven, right? As we've heard of a million times over the last few years, the Mag Seven, Magnificent Seven. You've got Apple, Alphabet, which of course is Google, Amazon, Meta, which of course is Facebook, Microsoft, Nvidia, and Tesla. That's what's referred to as the Mag Seven. Now, these companies boast trillion-dollar market capitalizations, making them seem unattainable for any small investors. However, the article highlights that anyone can start investing regardless of their financial situation. There's no rule requiring a minimum investment of $1,000 to enter the market. For those who have limited cash flow, here are some steps to begin investing and building long-term wealth. First, start small and build momentum over time. Then review your finances. Take advantage of workplace retirement plans, of course. Use micro investing apps to buy fractional shares, so you don't have to buy a full share to get in. Consider real estate investment trusts. Leverage dollar cost averaging. Prioritize saving by paying yourself first, and also educate yourself about the stock market. Now, following these strategies, even investors with the most modest resources can begin growing their wealth and working towards financial security.
Yeah. And that's important. I mean, the old expression, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. That's true, especially when it comes to financial strategies as well. You know, as when you're young and you're starting out, you need to start doing this right away. I mean, I look back and think, man, I wish I would have contributed to my 401k starting when I got my first full-time job at 21, right? And I wish I contributed more and started sooner and, you know, started a Roth. These types of things, hindsight is 20/20, but the second best time to start is now if you haven't. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I always say late is better than never. But, you know, in terms of retirement planning, early is better than later.
Yes, but of course,
late is better than never. Yeah. Now, I think that's a good segue to our next point. When investing, start small and build momentum, as we just mentioned. Now, if you are living paycheck to paycheck or you're struggling to save, don't stretch yourself too thin when you're starting your investment journey. Even if setting aside money seems difficult, keep in mind consistency is key here. Small contributions can grow significantly over time. And while the general rule of thumb is to save 20% of your income, that might not be realistic for everyone. So if 20% feels overwhelming, maybe start with 10%. $20 a week, or whatever amount fits your budget. To begin, consider opening a high yield savings account that offers you maybe 4% interest right now, rather than a traditional savings account that might be less than 1% annual percentage yield. And remember, investing comes with both rewards and risks periodically. If it's part of your financial strategy, it's wise to consult a financial services professional to ensure that you're making the most informed decisions that align with your overall goals.
Right. I mean, there's rarely a downside to working with somebody who can give you data-driven, emotion-free, experienced advice and insights. You want to make sure you're working with an independent financial advisor, a fiduciary who's going to look out for your best interest. And Cole, I know that's what you and the team there at Bushka Solutions, that's what you do. And I think it's so important that people do this, especially if they're within 10 years of retirement, have some money built up in a 401k or a retirement account. What are you going to do? You need a plan, and you need to make sure that you're going to be ready to retire. So the way to do that and the way to make sure you're invested properly is, again, work with somebody like yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got a whole team of highly skilled financial professionals within our office here in Wausau, and then also over in the Eau Claire area. And so certainly it's a great step to either A, begin creating a plan for yourself, or B, getting a second opinion on your current plan. You know, I mean, we've gone through a bit of volatility in the market over the last several weeks and last several months, I should say now.
Yeah.
And, you know, things have cleared up a little bit and, you know, we've seen a nice recovery here over the course of the last few weeks. But I mean, it is a great time to reassess.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of parlays right into the next point of the article is thoroughly reviewing your finances. You know, before you're setting investment goals, it's really a good idea to assess your current financial situation, ideally with the guidance of someone like one of our professionals, a financial professional. And you should take a close look at how much of your income goes towards fixed expenses, things like mortgage, rent, car payments, student loans, versus like discretionary spending on food and, you know, meals out and entertainment and shopping and all of that kind of stuff. And once you have a clear picture, outline a rough plan for how much you'd like to invest over the next year. And it helps to establish a household budget and then prioritize essential expenses and then set up automatic contributions to your savings and investment accounts to stay on track. So you can kind of set it and to a degree, forget it and just adjust it over time.
Sure. Sure. And you want to stay the course and stick to the plan, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm so glad my contributions to my savings and investment accounts are automated. It just makes everything so much easier and it doesn't give me a chance to blow it.
Right.
Yes. I mean, it's out of sight, out of mind, and it goes in there and I have it set to increase every year.
Yep.
And so that works best for me. So I think that's great.
You have taken the advice of a qualified financial professional, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I've learned well from, doing the show with you and Sue and the gang over the years. I mean, who knows? Someday I might even learn something from Logan. Not yet. Not yet, but you never know. I'm teasing.
There's always a chance, right?
There's always a chance. So you're saying there's a chance. Yeah,
absolutely. There's always a chance. So let's since you just mentioned it, let's talk a little bit more about those company retirement accounts. Prioritizing tax advantaged accounts can be really crucial because they can offer potentially significant benefits, though. Keep in mind, early withdrawals will come with potential restrictions. And additionally, investing in taxable accounts can provide more flexibility when accessing funds when needed. Now, if your employer offers a 401k match, you should absolutely take full advantage of it. Matching policies are going to vary from employer to employer, but many companies match $1 for every $1 contributed up to 3% of your salary, and then often 50 cents on the next dollar for the next 2%. So basically, if you're putting in 5%, they're putting in 4% as a match.
Yeah.
And this is basically free money. I mean, that can significantly boost your savings over the course of time.
Oh, it's huge. And to not take advantage of that, I kicked myself because my first couple full-time jobs, I did not.
And you're not alone,
before I met you. So, when it comes to that company match, you do whatever it takes to get the full company match. If that's 3% or 6%, do whatever it takes to trigger it, because every company can be different. I know a company out there that they'll match up to 6%. Some a lot. Nowadays it's 3. Yep. But like you said before, don't leave money you're entitled to just sitting there. That's like saying the company is basically saying, instead of whatever your salary, I'm just going to use this as an example. Let's say instead of paying you $100,000 a year, we're going to give you $110,000 a year. And you say, no, thanks. Just give me the 100.
Right. Exactly.
You would never say that, right? No. Well, that's what a company matches. That's part of your compensation. And yep. If you don't do what it takes to get the full match, you're leaving free money on the table, money that's just sitting there with your name on it. You're pushing it away saying no, thank you. And there's no strings on that money. I mean, very few. Sometimes, you know, you have to be vested.
Yeah.
You have to work for the company for a certain number of years. But once you do that, you're in. So,
yeah, absolutely.
I think that's great.
Yeah, that's absolutely great advice for anyone out there listening today.
Yeah. And
the article also talks about leveraging what's referred to as dollar cost averaging, which is essentially just a strategy that makes investing more accessible through smaller, more consistent contributions. So with dollar cost averaging, you invest a set amount at regular intervals, whether that be weekly, monthly, sometimes even daily, depending on the situation, regardless of market fluctuations. Now, many investment platforms now support this approach, allowing you to purchase fractional shares of stocks, mutual funds, or other types of assets very easily. And really, the most challenging step is getting started. But once you do, those steady contributions can grow to a substantial amount of wealth over the course of time.
Yeah. And you know, well, platforms and apps are all well and good.
Yeah.
I personally would only invest with the help of a financial services professional who's a fiduciary. I just think that's so important. Well, Cole, a great show today. We're out of time. But before we go, let our listeners know one more time how they can get a hold of you to get a second opinion on where they're at or get a financial plan in place for the first time.
Absolutely. Pretty simple to do, Tony. All they've got to do is give us a call, 715-355-4445. Visit us online at retirewithbushka.com. That's retirewithbushka.com.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And listeners, thanks for tuning in. That does it for today's episode of Financially Speaking with our host, Cole Bruner.
Thank you for joining us for Financially Speaking. Don't head into retirement without a strategy that addresses both income and taxes. For more information, please contact the Bushka Wealth Management Team at 715-355-4445 or visit retirewithbushka.com now. Join us again soon for another episode of Financially Speaking.
Fee-based financial planning and investment advisory services are offered by Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor in the state of Wisconsin. Insurance products and services are offered through Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. Bushka Wealth Management, LLC, and Bushka Retirement Solutions, Inc. are affiliated companies.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. We are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration, the Federal Medicare Program, or any other government agency. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.